of the scripture today. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. No matter what you're going through, he can restore you, he can renew you, he can heal you, he can bring you peace, joy, whatever it is that you are lacking, the Lord is not lacking that, and he can give that to you. Thank you, Jesus. worship your holy name. Worship you, Jesus. I magnify your sweet name, Jesus. Lord, there is no one like you, God. There is no one higher than you, Jesus. God, I just want to know you. I want to be close to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. worship you, Jesus. We lift you up, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Worship him right now. Let's do that, Lord God. We surrender to you, God. We surrender our lives, God. We surrender every fear. We surrender our cares, Lord Jesus. We cast them to you, Lord God, tonight, God. We surrender, Lord, our will, God. We just want to do what you would have us to do in this life, God. Lord, during this time, Lord Jesus, I pray, God, help us. We submit ourselves to you, God, giving you everything, God. Amen, amen. Well, welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. So good to have you join us in worship tonight. We want to continue to be in prayer this week for Brother John Wagner, Brother Pat Huber, facing cancer. I know Brother Huber had a surgery of sorts and is facing some more, and so we want to pray for both our brothers. We do want to pray for Sarah Tesh and her family. Her grandfather passed away early this week, as well as Sister Julie Puckett. Her father did end up passing away on Sunday. And so we want to pray for comfort and peace. And so please keep those four individuals, those families in your prayers this week. Amen. They will appreciate that. We want to continue to encourage you to give to Calvary Gospel Church, to the work of the Lord. It's going forth, and we have our giving options, as you see on the screen. You can mail in your tithes and offerings to the church. You can go online to our website and click the give link, and then you can text to give, and all that information is right up there for you to observe. And we want to continue to encourage you to join us online via Facebook or watching our website. This Sunday, again, we're going to be having services right here at 10 a.m. Amen, and going throughout the day. We're excited. You know, it's one thing to give announcements, and I was thinking about it as I was preparing for tonight, that speaking is a little different. because you interact with the congregation. I like to interact and see reactions and see folks. And so I'm just imagining. I'm imagining a sister over here as you're looking to the right who would laugh or snort just about this time and put me at ease and say, okay, it's going to be okay. So please, right where you're at, Sister Victoria, if you'd give me a laugh, that would be great. I'm just imagining that. I'm imagining the Aka girl sitting right here and where our youth normally sit, out with pen and paper, ready to take some notes. Brother Jordan Powell probably taking notes, too, that 6 years from now he'll say, yeah, back on April 22nd, 2020, you said this. And I'll be like, what are you talking about, bro? So, Jordan, I hope you're taking notes tonight. But I'm imagining faces and of you. We miss you, folks. We miss everyone. I know everyone does the same, and I hope you are doing well. Amen. And we pray God's blessings. If you would look on the screen where you're at or open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20, it says, then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And then flipping over to Psalms chapter 147, verse 18, it says, he sends out his word. This is God. He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his winds to blow and the waters flow. And so tonight I want to speak on a simple thought. The wind is blowing, so go fly your kite. The wind is blowing, so go fly your kite. Amen. Easter is a weekend where we remember the death of our Lord and Savior, then celebrate that he's risen. Society has also turned Easter into a day for egg hunts and candy and various things. And in the Demos household, we do both. Fiona came up with an awesome illustration for representing what God did for us and that we do with our kids. And then we have actual gifts to represent the gift that he ultimately gives us. And so now our baskets, quote unquote, don't just have candy in them. We like to do candy, but also practical things like new rain boots. We did that last year and the year before. And then typically some new toys. And I say all of that to say this year, between what Fiona put together and what Abuela put together, Josiah ended up with two kites. We didn't have kites before, but he got two this year. And not just any kites, but Paw Patrol kites. I must tell you that Paw Patrol is one of our jams at the Demos Estate. That's a serious business. And those who have kids and have no clue what I'm talking, well, go watch a Paw Patrol. Spend some time. I'm sure it's on something, Netflix or something. I don't know where it's at. But anyways, I don't know if you remember, but both Easter Sunday and the following Monday were super, super chilly and really, really windy. And so with new kites, Josiah just had to get outside. He'd never flown a kite before, but he did both those days. Fiona went out there on Sunday, and I went outside with him on Monday, and that little dude was flying a kite all by himself, holding that thing down, having the time of his life. A four-year-old who is now wearing six-year-old clothes. I digress. I think he even skipped all of five. He just grew. So next time you see him, you'll be like, who's that teenager? And I'll be like, ah, it's my five-year-old. All right. There wasn't really a laugh. That's what makes it difficult when you try to add humor and then it's like, thank you from the back. I told Kenley I'd pay him $20 to sit out in a pew and laugh really loud, but thank you, John. Amen. So it was not a day to normally go outside. Cold, windy, really, really cold. But it was a day where the wind was blowing. So it was a day to go fly our kites. One of the fun results of the quarantine state that we've been in has been a bunch of the CGC guys have jumped on the video messaging app called Marco Polo. I would encourage you to do so. It's a lot of fun. The ladies started it up first, have a group themselves, but the guys quickly followed suit, and I hear that we have much more interesting content than the ladies group, but we won't go down that road. But on Marco Polo, quite a few of you hop on and off and send video messages throughout the day. And so when Josiah was flying his kite, I shared some video footage of him doing so, and which then sparked several comments and stories of guys and their kite flying experiences or lack thereof. One of you got on and said, and I won't keep the names nameless, just so that the parents who are listening won't get, you know, feel bad that their kid never flew a kite. He said, honestly, I can say I've never flown a kite in my life. And you know who you are, and you can come over and fly Josiah's kite if you want to, and you can say it's a first. But anyways, but he then made the comment, but I've been told to go fly a kite a few times. The idiom, go fly a kite, is really a rude way of saying, get out of here. Leave me alone. Stop bothering me. Just go fly a kite. You're annoying. And isn't that the response that many in our world have toward Christ? Get out of here with that Jesus stuff. I'm not interested in the Bible or what you're saying. Stop bothering me about how I need to change my life. Basically, you and Jesus, go fly a kite. There's a hardness, a resistance toward anything to do with God. And this condition is spoken to in our first opening scripture, which is in the book of Ezekiel. This was a prophetic word given by the Lord to Ezekiel, a priest who subsequently wrote it down, shared it with the people of Israel. And these were prophecies of what the Lord would do in their lives. The Bible says that God will put a new spirit in folks, taking away the stony hearts and replacing it with a heart of flesh. Interpretation, God will take an individual who wants nothing to do with spiritual matters, the one who says, go fly a kite, and he causes them to have a desire to live a life pleasing to him, or to wonder, what is God all about? Is there a God? And the stony resistance becomes a sensitivity to, and a willingness to please God. The second scripture that we read from Psalms 147 is a metaphor of how God will melt the icy life. And then when his wind begins to blow, the waters that were once frozen over or stagnant will begin to move and be alive once again. After our kite stories on Marco Polo, the Lord gave me this thought for tonight. And then it was cool to see the progression of sermons from last Wednesday when Brother Rossing talked on the subject, where do we go from here? And spoke to his quest of searching for truth and who God really was all about and if he was real. And then in this past Sunday, Pastor Seidel talked about pleasing God, what it looks like to live a life that is pleasing to God. And tonight I'm going to piggyback off of their messages with a kite analogy, which will hopefully bring some practical thoughts to consider as we seek after God and seek to please him. Folks, the winds of the Spirit are blowing in this world. The stony hearts are being transformed into hearts of flesh. People are questioning. People are wondering. People are trying to find the meaning of life in all of this, in this time period. In these unprecedented times, they're searching for God, wondering if he's real, how it looks for their life, and there's a passion beginning to stir to please God or to know God. The wind is blowing. You know, it's not a day to normally be outside, but when the wind blows, we need to go fly our kites. So let's get to tonight's message and analogy. A common misconception that folks have of those who follow Christ is that they are tied down. There are laws, rules, limitations to a life in Christ. You can't do what you want to do. There's not freedom. You're stifled. You know, basically whoever gets behind the pulpit, you have to listen to them. You have to do what they say, and you don't really have freedom. You're just tied down. And I would answer that the kite analogy clears this misconception up. Exactly, Pastor Phil. You've proven our point. A kite has a string. It's tied down. It has no say. It can't be free. Now, folks, before you start trying to figure out the analogy of the kite and where I'm going, hear me out. Let's read in Romans chapter 6. It says in verse 16, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. The enemy of our soul would want us to think we're tied down and we should free ourselves from all the restrictions and regulations. But in fact, when we reject Christ, we're not freeing ourselves from control. We are simply telling God we don't want him managing our kite, our life. And so he hands the control over to the world. Whether we live for Jesus and have a life that is pleasing to him, or we live for ourselves, a life free of God, we are always submitting ourselves in obedience to something. We're always submitting ourselves in obedience to something. We're surrendering all to something. What a great worship set tonight, Sister Sierra. Thank you. So applicable and ties right in. No, Pastor Phil, you don't get it. I'm talking letting go of all control in my life. I'm in control. No one is going to fly my kite. I'm going to do it myself. Well, let me tell you our experience that Monday. Josiah and I were flying his larger kite. Forgot to bring it in. I was going to bring and show the cool Paw Patrol kite that we got. It was about 30 or 40 feet in the air, and we still had string wrapped around the handle. There was more string to let out and go higher, and we had done his smaller kite already and had gotten that to the max, and so I'm like, let's go higher. Well, we had a miscommunication, and he thought I said let go, and when I was just saying, hold on, I'm going to unwrap the string, and so he let go. And the kite quickly jerked away from us, and I had a moment of fear that Josiah's new kite was about to be taken away in the air, free to fly as it wished, and we'd never see it again, much like the argument of being free from God or anyone or thing being in control of our lives. But what happened? If you ever flown a kite and let it go, you'll know without the pressure or resistance against doing its own thing, the kite flew to the next yard about 50 yards away and then quickly plummeted to the ground. Folks, what we see as a limitation in our lives is actually what will allow us to climb higher in life than we could ever imagine. A blessed life, a fruitful life, a joy-filled life. The string doesn't hold a kite down. The string holds it up. God does not hold us down. His Spirit holds us up. I make the choice to submit my life to God. Does that mean there are certain things I don't do? Yeah, but I choose to forsake those things in my life so that I can partake of God's divine promises, his protection, his attributes. There's principles in the Bible. If this, then this. It's a math equation for you math nerds out there. If you do this or act this way or say this thing, then I will do this. And so, yeah, if you refrain from this and say, oh, that's a limitation. Well, no, I'm just wanting what's after the equal signs in the equation. I want to be blessed. I want to see God's work in my life, protection in my life. So you know what? I choose to refrain from this. I choose to submit. I choose to surrender all. I want to repeat that thought. What we can see as a limitation in our lives is actually what will allow us to climb higher. My junior and senior years of high school, I spent living in St. Paul, Minnesota. Finished high school there. Sister Abby's a Minnesotanite. Viking fan. Help us, Jesus. You know, if the NFL season got canceled, Viking fans would just face the same disappointment as they do every year. So it wouldn't be any difference. love you. See, this is what happens when there's like two people here to interact with, and you just interact with them, and everyone else is like, what are you doing? And I don't have my wife to go like, stop. All right, moving on. I attended the church that Apostolic Bible Institute is connected to, Brother Jerry Simmons, Sister Lindsay. They went to Bible college there. My youth leader at the time was Dan Fleming, and he's a Pastor Roy type engineer and basically go big or go home. Well, I'll never forget that one Saturday when he told the youth group that we're going to go fly kites. And as a junior or senior in high school, I had that face like, probably can't see it because I'm not zoomed in enough, and I might be having the halo lights on me. But it was like, okay. Sounded as exciting as Fanny Pack Friday that we had here 10 or so years ago. Some of you young adults may remember that. Amazing. Come. Let's go fly kites. Yeah, this is going to be fun. But this turned out to be no ordinary kite flying day. Now, I'm not a fisherman, so Jacob Graper and Bryce and all you other fishermen out there, give me some grace. But he brought fishing line to connect to the kite instead of the string. I think it was like 100-pound fishing line, which from what I understand, again, I don't fish, but that basically means that the line is strong enough to catch a 100-pound fish. So basically imagine going deep-sea fishing, catching sailfish. That's the kind of line, that's probably 200-pound, I don't know. But he got this crazy strong fishing line instead of string, and he hooked that line up to the big old kite. I don't know if he bought the kite, made the kite. He probably made it. I don't know. I don't know how big it was, but before we knew it, that thing took off and was flying a couple thousand feet in the air. You couldn't see it anymore. It's just a tiny dot in the sky. Some say it's a limitation. I say that a relationship with Jesus is freeing. If it's cultivated, if it's strengthened over time, if it's filled with prayer and Bible reading, fasting, devotion to living a holy life, the more you seek, the more you desire to please God, the thicker the kite string of your life will become, the stronger your connection to God will become. And what happens? You can go up and up, and God's like, all right, let's add some more line. Let's add another 1,000 feet. This dude is connected. There's nothing going to take this life down, and you'll go higher and higher. And a life in Jesus is freeing. It's not limiting. God does not hold us down. He holds us up. Amen? As we seek after the Lord and seek to please the Lord, another crucial piece to our spiritual growth is the concept of correction. It's another misconception that folks may have about the Christian walk. I want to be free. I don't want to be told if I'm doing something wrong or need to make adjustments, you know. In the postmodern world we live in, things are now often seen as relative. What is good for you is fine. Sure, you do that, but don't expect the same from me. I'll do my own thing, live my own way, and that's all right. What's good for you is fine. What's good for me is fine. But this does go against biblical principle of absolutism, meaning what is set out for one individual in the Bible applies to all. Whether you may think that stealing is not wrong, you have no moral objection because, hey, they're wealthy, so I can just steal from them. It's okay because of my lot in life, and I don't feel wrong about it. Well, Scripture doesn't say it's wrong to steal only if you feel like it's wrong. As an example, it's wrong regardless. It's absolute. There's no change between feeling or past background or whatever. And so as we grow in the Lord, there are times that we need a tug on our life, a course correction, if you will, to align ourselves back to what the Lord wants for our lives. A scripture that is commonly a favorite is found in Proverbs 3, and most often quoted is verses 5 and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." Sweet. We've got to trust in God. 10:4, love it. He's going to guide us. But the passage goes on, and in the context of trusting him, I love the various areas in which we're instructed to trust him. I also love the promises associated with each area if we trust him. Again, he's not a limitation God. So listen to this. Just soak this in. Starting in verse 7 and 8, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength into your bones." Trust him with your decision-making. Verse 9 and 10 goes on. It says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine." Trust him materially. Trust him with your finances. Trust him with your provision, with your job. You can, and you know what? If you do, again, there's that if this, then this. What great promises. So trust him with those things. Then verse 11 and 12. "My son," again, in the context of trusting God, "my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." We need to trust God. We're exhorted to trust God with correction. Because just like a parent, he corrects those he loves. He wants the best for our lives. He wants to lead us and guide us. Again, acknowledge him in all our ways. He's going to direct our paths. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on him. Well, I don't know why he's correcting me. I don't know why that scripture is jumping out at me. Trust him and just follow his direction. Follow his correction. It's just like in kite flying. Every now and then, when there's a lull, the kite begins to start to fall. And a gentle tug on that string gets the kite flying again. Because it's like, oh, yep. As you're seeking the Lord, as you're trying to please the Lord with your life, strive to be teachable. It's one of the most, as a former youth pastor and now pastor, watching young people from age 12 all the way up, now seeing them at almost age 30 is crazy. I'm that old. But the greatest quality is not how great they are and how perfect people are. No, the greatest quality is teachability. Because if someone is teachable, then they can be molded by God. Then they can grow in God. If someone's resistance, I know everything, then God has a lot harder job. You know what? Life is a whole lot easier when you're not stubborn. I sometimes struggle with that, maybe. And God has to, over and over again, and I don't learn the lesson, and then another individual comes in my life, and he starts to try to teach me again. So be teachable. Allow the voice of correction to be in your life. I'm so thankful for the voices I have in my life that point out when I'm not thinking straight or having a bad attitude. I'm thankful for the word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart and will challenge me in so many areas if I allow it to. Kite flying needs a tug every now and then. It's for our good. Amen. We'll be successful in this journey with God if we submit ourselves to him, let his spirit guide our lives. We'll also be successful if we allow for the hand of correction to be in our lives. There's two more areas we have to be aware of to be successful in Christ. Brother Ricky Wells, God on Marco Polo, was relaying his kite story. He talked about how as a kid he had his kite going strong. It was way up there in the sky. And that's when his brother came along, took out his pocket knife and cut the string. He never saw the kite again. Folks, we have to be careful our string doesn't get cut. Amen. Again, if we use the analogy of the kite and compare it to our walk with the Lord, the string is our relationship with God. We can sabotage ourselves by cutting off the Lord when we stop making a consistent connection with God. This safe at home order is a great testing time. We should all ask ourselves if this quarantine has enhanced our relationship with God and helped it to continue to grow, or has it exposed that we actually indeed live off the week-to-week experience gathering together in worship. And there's growth opportunities in our relationship with Jesus that, man, I can't do this just Sunday to Sunday or Sunday to Wednesday. Man, there's some growth there that needs to happen. Don't let yourself be sabotaged. Don't sabotage yourself. Don't cut your own line. Don't cut the line by quitting your prayer life. Keep the line secure. Again, the more we cultivate it, the stronger the line becomes, the more protected against cuts it becomes. This is so vital because others can cut our line as well. It might be wounds and hurts from what people say currently or what has happened in the past that can be line cutting. That strong relationship with Jesus is where we cast all our cares on him, and he's going to keep us through, going to help us work through those hurts and pains. And line cutting can also be caused by the doubt of others, the questioning, the challenging of others, the mocking. You don't know what you're talking about. That God thing, that's not going to help you. One of the cool parts of this quarantine, again, has been those on Marco Polo, and one of the things has been a lot of folks have gotten to know Trey. He's a new member at Calvary Gospel, got the baptized last November, and hearing his fresh take on living for the Lord. It's a great day to have a great day, is his line. I love it. And it's been fun just virtually getting to know him and how he thinks and his fresh take, and can't wait to hang out together, my friend. But you mentioned it yourself, Trey, so I want to share his advice. Surround yourself with people who love God themselves and trying their very best. He said, man, this has been so great to just have all of you around and know that there is a true family of God. So encourage one another. Lift each other up. Surround yourself with those who aren't looking to cut the line and say, you know what, you cast doubt and you don't know what you're talking about. But those who say, you know what, I don't have it all together either. Let's keep going. Let's keep flying. Let's keep getting higher in Jesus. One last story Pastor Seidel told about his kite flying memory. He said that as a kid, he would wait patiently until the snow was melted, the ground wasn't wet and muddy anymore. And as soon as the conditions were right, he would head down to the park near his house and fly kites all the time. In sharing his story, he made this offhand remark. He said, "There were many a kite-eating tree in that park." In our backyard in Marshall, we have no large trees. The next-door neighbor has a tree. It's only probably 10 years old. We don't have power lines in our neighborhood. So Josiah can fly his kite without worry about getting anything tangled up or snared. But it's not the case in our walk with the Lord. Scripture says in Luke 21, verse 34 to 36, it says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly." Luke 8:14 references, it talks about the seed and the parable of the seed that's sown. And in verse 14, it talks about the seed that fell among the thorns. And that's the seed that got choked out by cares and riches and pleasures of this life. What are the kite-eating trees? Man, there's so many variations, I couldn't even tell you. Just like there's oak trees and maple trees and walnut trees and this kind of tree, birch trees, palm trees, if you're down in Florida. There's trees of all sorts. Well, the kite-eating trees look different in every one of our lives. For you, it might be different than what it is for me. It might be job-related. It might be money. It might be kids, house, or entertainment, relationships, video games, fashion, on and on. I can't tell you what kite-eating trees to watch out for, but that's where that relationship with God comes in. That's where in our prayer time we ask, I challenge you to ask about every aspect of your life. And if we do, we ask about our lives and everything, the relationships to finances, to living situations, to our car that we drive. Should I fix the car or should I look for a new car? Should I go in debt or should I be debt free? And should I take this job or not take this job? Everything, passing it through the Jesus filter. That's where God is going to say, "Oh, that's going to choke you out," or, "Hey, go on, I got you." Watch out for the kite-eating trees. I want to echo Brother Rossing, "Seek after God, he'll be found." You can find truth in a real relationship with a living God who loves you. If you've never had an experience with the Lord, if you've never been filled with his Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, or you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I want to tell you there's a living God, not an idol on our shelf. I lived in Greece and they had icons in the Greek Orthodox Church, a picture on the wall, and people will come and worship by kissing. And I, as a kid, it's just so gross, lipstick all over, and person after person after person, because that was their God. That was representative. Man, I don't need to kiss no icon on a wall. I got a living God who lives in my heart, and he wants to live in your heart as well tonight. So I encourage you, you need to know more information, call the church, 608-249-6445. Schedule, if you've never been baptized, in Jesus' name, call the church. We'll set up a time. We'll be COVID safe, and we'll get you baptized in Jesus' name. He wants the best for you. I want to echo Pastor Seidel that we should strive to please God. And I want to once again remind you of tonight's kite-inspired practical tips. Number one, submit your life 100% to God and let him take the reins. What seems like a limitation is actually what will take you higher. Number two, allow for the gentle tug of correction by the Holy Spirit. It will keep you upright. It will keep you going in the right direction. Number three, don't cut your line. Keep it strong. Keep your relationship with God going strong. 3B, if there are external forces trying to cut the line, cast those cares upon God. Give them to Jesus. He'll see you through. Find a group of brothers or sisters who will cheer you on, not try to take you out. And lastly, finally, number four, as you submit yourselves to God, Lay every area down before him and allow him to steer you away from kite-eating trees. Folks, the winds of the Holy Spirit are blowing in our world. Let's go fly our kites. Let's go fly our kites. Let's worship tonight.
I give you my life. I give you my trust.
Submit ourselves to you, God. We submit our lives to you, Lord God. And if there's an area, Lord God, that we are having a struggle submitting, God, I pray, speak to us. Give us a peace about that area, and God, for once and for all, to truly submit that area. God, I pray you minister right now, God, to every individual watching. Go with them, be with them, guide them, and lead them, Lord Jesus. Keep them safe, God. We're looking forward to worshiping together again, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again so much for joining us tonight, Calvary Gospel Church. Be blessed. Encourage someone. Send someone a text. Send them a letter. Give some snail mail. If you want my address, call me, man. I'd love some snail mail. Amen. A postcard. We love you all. We miss you all. Be safe. God bless you tonight. Amen.